Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
I know I'm going to make it. I know I can make it. I know I'm going to make it. Now, I chose a tree growing out of a rock. And that's not clay, that's a rock. And if a tree can grow out of a rock, a tree can grow out of a hard place. You only need a few things to be able to grow. You only need a few things to make it. Where most wouldn't make it, that tree made it. And I call on you today that you're going to make it. You're going to make it through this situation. You're going to make it through this pandemic. You're going to make it through the test and the trials of your faith. Because what you need is Jesus, and we've got an ample supply of Jesus. He has not relinquished his hold. He's still on the throne. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still the bride of the morning star. He's still the lily of the valley and the fairest of 10,000. He's still on the throne. And so you can make it through this pandemic and this isolation. Philippians 1 and 6. It reads like this: For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, that perfect doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It means mature. That he's going to mature the work that he began in you. You see, man, this serving Jesus like this will separate the wimps from the men, the sissies from the big boys. Come on, somebody. That's what it'll do. Then Philippians 3:13 says this: Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Hallelujah. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I've got one more for you. Jude, verse 24. There's only one chapter. So verse 24 says this: Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Hallelujah. Blameless with great joy. I want to read it to you from the Living Bible. The Living Bible, that verse 24 says this: And now all glory to him who alone is God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, splendor and majesty, all power and authority are his from the beginning. His they are, and his they evermore shall be. And he is able to keep you from slipping and falling away, and to bring you sinless and perfect into his glorious presence with mighty shouts of everlasting joy. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Josh. Some people worry about a lot of things. And this is just one more thing on the long list of worry. They ask the question, am I going to make it through this pandemic? Am I going to make it through this? Am I going to make it through that? Am I even going to make it to heaven? And if you, let me go ahead and answer that question for you. If you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, then no, you're not going to make it to heaven. But if you've asked him to come into your life and you have a relationship with him, then yes, you're going to make it. The enemy uses tactics of the mind to bring about doubt and to get you to doubt the fact that you are saved. Now, let me just say this. There are some people who say they are saved, but they don't act like they're saved. Yeah, I'm talking to a lot of people. I know that. And you may go, Pastor, are you judging? No, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that you're saying that you're saved, but you don't behave or live like you're saved. And we need to understand that there is a change that happens in us when we are saved. And we need to live, you know, it's just like this, all right? When you got married, you're no longer single. When you got married, you can't act the way single people act. You can't do it. Why? Because you're married. And when you get saved, you can't just live any old kind of way. You need to live according to the Word of God and according to the Spirit of God and according to your relationship with Christ. That's what needs to happen. So you need to understand that. But not only have they been saved, but also that I want you to know that you can rely on Him to the completing, the building of what God has started in your life. Yes, I'm going to make it, but not only am I going to make it, but God's going to complete what He began. He's going to mature. I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. I'm not the same Christian I was 30 years ago, because you have to mature. Now, with that said, you understand that you're going to make some mistakes, but don't sit sour in your mistakes, man. Get up and move forward in Christ. Ask God to forgive you and move on in your life. So if you're taking notes, and I think it is on YouVersion, but point number one is this. God has started a work. If you've asked Christ to come into your life, He has started a good work in your life. Pastor, how do I do that? Well, I normally wait for the end, but just in case you get bored and want to turn off, let me go ahead and tell you how to do that. If you want to ask Christ into your life, if you want Him to begin a work in your life, you simply have to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, believe that He died on the cross for you, confess with your mouth, and according to Romans 10:9, you shall be saved. It's that simple. But listen, it's simple, but if you don't really mean it, it's just words. It's like abracadabra, hocus pocus. But if you mean what you're saying, Jesus said that He is faithful and He will forgive you of your sins. He will cleanse you and make you whole. And I know that many times in many churches you have to walk down an aisle to do that. But I'm telling you, right there in your home, you can make that confession. You can believe that principle, and you can be saved right there and start your journey with Jesus, and God will start a work in your life. Because can I tell you this? We are all ongoing projects. Everybody in here. There are some projects. You know, at one point in time this month, I had 7 different remodeling projects going on. 4 at the church, 3 personal. So, I mean, and it was about to drive me crazy. To God be the glory, 2 of them are done. Woo! And 1, we just put on the back burner because we ain't doing anything during this pandemic. Woo! So we got a couple of things that are like on hold. So it gives me a little bit of relief. But can I tell you that every project is at a different stage of its completion. Some are having to be gutted. Others were having to be renewed. But every project has its own set of obstacles, its own set of parameters. And I want you to know that you might not be where I'm at, and I might not be where you're at. You might be more spiritual than me, and I might be more spiritual than you, or whatever. That's probably not the case, but it might be. But here's what I want you to know, man, is that everybody is a project, and God is working on it. So don't get confused, and don't get upset that you're not where somebody is. But also, don't say, well, this is who I am, and blah, 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 blah. No, God loves you exactly the way He found you, but He loves you too much to leave you the same way He found you. He wants to mature or finish or complete the project that God has in your life. All of us are in need of a master builder doing something in our lives. I want God always in my life doing something, because I know that if He is doing something, then that means that He has to have His hands on me, His eye on me. As long as He's working on me, I know that He is with me. Hallelujah. We have not arrived. Would you just look at your spouse? Look at somebody who's sitting next to you, and maybe they're on the couch, and look at them with because I know everybody didn't get dressed for this service. Look at them in their pajamas. Look at them with their hair all still messed up. Look at them with Nutella stains on their sweats. And look at them in their yoga pants. And look at them with sitting in the drawers. And just tell them, you have not arrived yet. Now, if you need marriage counseling after this, you can call. But you need to tell them, you have not arrived. You are not the center of the universe. You still need some work. Now, if you want to make some points, look at your spouse and go, baby, you are all that and a bag of chips and some government cheese, but you still need some work. Come on, somebody. Don't lie. Tell them they need some work. But at the point of salvation, we begin to allow God to bring out what has always been there from the beginning. God knew you. Let me talk to you. God knew you before this pandemic. God knew you before the abuse ever got there. God knew you before the divorce ever happened. God knew you before you ever got sick. God knew you, and He knows your name. He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows you. You know why? Because whether you believe it, whether you receive it, you belong to God. What do you mean there, preacher? You belong to God. You might not be in covenant with God. You might not be in relationship with God, but you still belong to God. Listen, there are plenty of children who are out of fellowship with their father, but they still their children, and it doesn't matter what they say. You cannot erase it, that they're blood. You cannot erase that they are kin. Listen to me. You might not belong to God right now. You might have just started listening to this live broadcast. You might have just started listening because you are interested, or you're curious, or you want to make fun or whatever. Maybe you don't even believe God. You just want to watch us crazy preachers around. But I want you to know, man, that you belong to God, and there ain't a thing you can do about it, because God breathed breath into your body and you became a living soul. Without the breath of God, you're not living, man. You are a corpse if without the breath of God. And so when God breathed life into you, He gave you life. Therefore, you belong to Him. So it's about time that you recognize that if I belong to Him, and if He is my Father, then I ought to get back into a relationship with Him and let Him guide my life, because He knows everything about me. Woo, that's good preaching, man. You ought to high five somebody. If you're at home, you know, I don't care how long you've served the devil. I don't care how long you've called yourself agnostic. I don't care how long you've called yourself atheist. You belong to God. You might have cursed God and told God to leave you alone. You might have tried to proverbial spit in His eye, but I want you to know you still belong to God. God made you. He gave you life, and His Son purchased your salvation at the cross. And He's already purchased. He's just waiting for you to come by and pick up the tickets. You know, a little funny thing that just kind of popped in my mind. Those of you who know me, my mind is like, woo, 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 a squirrel. And something that just popped in my mind is Talladega Nights. Oh, Ricky Bobby. And old Ricky Bobby, every race he would race, he would purchase some tickets for his father to come pick up. Can I tell you that the reverse is there? That your father has already purchased your ticket. He's already got the ticket waiting for you at the door. What door, preacher? The door of salvation. The door where you come and ask Him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins. Your ticket is already there. What's the ticket to? The ticket is to heaven, man. There's a plane coming by one day that's going to call you home. And if you don't have your ticket, you can't board. You can't get there. So today, go ahead and step up to that window and get the ticket that God's been had for you from the very foundation, because He purchased your ticket on the cross. Gee, there comes an attack in the minds of the believers that goes something like this. I know that you're saved, but will I hold on? Can I hold out? I'm going to tell you right now, man, if I may be transparent with you. I mean, I feel the Holy Spirit, But it's so much easier preaching to a church full than it is to 10 people. And matter of fact, almost everybody here is on their phones looking at Facebook and trying to help us interact because we want to be interaction. There, you know, thank God for John. He's the loudest clapper on the planet, and he's clapping. And, you know, and of course, these that are here that were on stage, and now they're in the audience. And I thank God for that. But it's been tough, man. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm preaching as hard as I can, but it's tough, and it's starting to drain me. I'm not going to lie. It's draining me. I have to get up in my spirit to come up in here and preach like this, but here's what I do know. You see, will I be able to hold on? Let me go ahead and tell you, devil, yes, I will. I will still preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm still going to preach like the house is full. Why? Because I know that somebody, I know one family who's saved today because of this broadcast. I know one family who is saved today because of what we're doing, and we're not going to give up the fight. We might have to change our method. We may have to change some things, but we're not giving up the fight because Jesus Christ died for my sin. He died for your sin. And I'm not going to, if you go to hell, you're going to have to crawl over this preacher. You're going to have to crawl over Ronnie Reed, and you're going to have to crawl over the cross to get there, because I'm going to tell you that Jesus loves you and he wants you to be saved. Hallelujah. The enemy then adds pressure. Is that you know you're going to fail. You try to live like them, you're going to fail. Let me go ahead and tell you, man, hey, just join us. I fall, not, you know, I fail, I fall. Everybody falls. The Bible says in Psalms that a righteous man, that means a man in right standing, falleth 7 times, but he gets back up. See, that's the key, man. I'm going to get up, and, you know, when you fall, you don't just lay there in it. You don't just lay there in whatever you fall in. You get up, you brush yourself off. You take your clothes to the washer. You get in the shower. You clean yourself up. And some of you, that's what you need to do today. Is you need to go to Jesus and let him shower you with his blood one more time and get all the filth that you've been wallowing in. Let it go, man. And so that you can be in right standing with him. Because here's what I want you to know: that the love of God is bigger than your failure. It is bigger than what you have failed. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I did. Well, don't you know what Jesus did? He said that he is faithful and he is just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you will come back to him. The God that was able to save you is the God that can able to complete the work in your life. For I'm confident, Paul said, of this one thing, that he who began a good work in me will complete it. The pressure is not yours. You are not the builder, only the clay. The clay of your life rests in the hands of the Almighty. Point number two is this: the past is gone. Thank you, God. Man, the good of the past and the bad of the past is gone. I love to quote the prophet Rafiki. The prophet Rafiki, and some of you probably won't find Rafiki in the Old Testament or New Testament. The prophet Rafiki is about a 25, 26-year-old cartoon from the Lion King. And he was a baboon, but he had some wisdom. He knocked Mufasa, or not Mufasa, it was, what was the other kid? Simba, thank you. He knocked Simba in the head, and Simba said, "Why'd you do that for?" And Rafiki said, "It doesn't matter, it's in the past." Man, if we could get that point right there, just move beyond what you just did. Move beyond the past. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you straight up. If you've hurt people, people are not going to forgive you that fast, because only God knows your heart. But in your spirit, you need to decide, I'm going to move beyond my failure. I'm going to move beyond what's happening in my life, because it is in the past. The past is forgotten. I have a new life in Jesus, and I'm going to let Jesus do in me what he needs to do. It's time to release the past and the things that go with it. Listen to me. Give me my next slide, Ryan. The past of your life has met the blood of the King, and the blood was so righteous that your past could not survive. Hallelujah. Man, I mean, you know, I'm just taking a perusal of the 10 people in here, and I know some of their past. I know some of their past since they came to Christ. And they might know some of mine. I don't know. But I know some of theirs because I'm their pastor. But here's what I know: that past When you failed that past, when you messed up that past, even before you came to know Christ and while you've known Christ, that past has met the blood of the King, the blood of the perfect sacrifice, the blood of the King, and the blood was so righteous that your past could not survive. And so now I say that your future is bright. Your future is ahead of you. So move with confidence in Jesus Christ. It did, however, this same blood that cleansed you from your past, that your past could not survive, did provide for your future. So now you've got a future. What are you going to do with it? The future says you are saved. The future says you're going to heaven. The future says you're blessed. The future says you're a child of the King. The blood has always allowed, or has allowed you to pursue and apprehend your future. You don't know what you're doing? Man, ask God. But I can tell you this, you will not live your best life until you ask Christ into your life. The posture of the past will be replaced by the faith in God that will bring about the completion of the work that will take place at the heights you've never imagined, man. But you've got to turn it over to God. I mean, really, not just halfway. Really turn it over to God. And then point number three, he's able to protect the completed work. He's able to protect the completed work. You see, you only protect what is valuable. And God is able to protect you. You are what is valuable to God. Do you know that I've got cameras at my house, security cameras. I have locks on my, I have an alarm system on my house. You see, that goes back to COVID-19. I trust God, but I still have an alarm system. I trust God, but I wear a helmet when I ride my motorcycle. I trust God, but I put on my seatbelt. Come on, somebody. And so, but here's the deal, man. You only protect what is valuable. Do you know I've never put chains on the garbage in my garbage can? I've never put guard dogs around my garbage cans. I've never had cameras zoomed out to the garbage can, because if it's in the garbage, that means it has no value. Can I tell you? But there are times when you can look in somebody else's garbage, what they thought was garbage, and find value in it. Hallelujah. What are you saying? People who have called you garbage, people who have said you're garbage, God looks at you, and God's the master builder. He knows how to restore you to his original purpose, so he now knows how to raise you up. He knows how to put you back together. He knows how to fix the dents and polishes the areas of your life that have been scorned and caused you to be something of value. He protects your value. We have an armed guard protecting the work of God. This is the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 49, 22 through 25 says this. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set my standard to the peoples. And they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders, and kings will be your guardians, and their princes your nurses. They will bow down to you and their faces to the earth, and lick the dust of your feet. And you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Verse 24. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man? Are the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Surely, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you. My God. I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons. What does that mean, preacher? It means that the one who's fighting you, God will fight the one who is fighting you. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your crazy aunt. I'm not talking about the crazy neighbor. I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about the adversary of your soul. The God of this universe will contend. He will fight against the devil who's fighting against you, who's trying to take you down. And I declare in the name of Jesus that you will not go down, but you're going to come up. You're going to go up. You're going to grow up, and you're going to be who God's called you to be. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. The God that I serve is able to keep you from stumbling to the point of not getting up. Huh? We all stumble. But my God is able to keep you from being so to the point that you can't get up. I stumble in my humanity, but I fall into the power of the sovereignty of His grace and His mercy. I can't do this thing by myself. I can't do this thing on my own. And to beat it all, it makes Him, God, joyful for me to rely on Him and not my strength. You know, if anybody has ever had to rely on you, and you was able to come through for them, it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Especially when it's the people you love. You know, my daughter looked at me yesterday, and my wife, who worked tirelessly to give her a wedding decorated for 200 people, for a people of 10. And she said, "Thank you for the work that you did." You know what? That, as a father, ministered to me, ministered to her mother. And I've come by to tell you that it gave me joy, because they couldn't do it in their own strength, but they relied on mom and dad and some of our friends, and we were able to do it. You cannot make it through this pandemic by yourself. I'm going to tell some of you, man. It's 10:39, 10:40. Some of you may have already started knocking them back, man. Some of you are going to wait a little bit, maybe after lunch, and have a few with lunch. And no telling maybe how many you may drink or today. But can I tell you, that's not going to get you through this thing. Matter of fact, that's going to take you further down to a road that you don't really... It's going to cost you more than what you're willing to pay. Maybe not today, but it will. But if you can turn to Jesus, I wish I could tell you you would never fail if you turn to Jesus. I wish I could tell you you'd never have a bad day. But Jesus said, this is Jesus, man. He said, in this life, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And that means that, man, I can fall into the hands and the strength of God, and I can make it. I know that I can make it. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me today and let me pray over you today? Father, maybe you didn't ask the Lord to come into your life. If you want to do that right now, I'll lead you in that, man. Let me do that first. Father, I pray, if you would repeat after me, if you want to give your life to Christ, I'm sorry. But if you want to give your life to Christ, just repeat after me. I ask you, Father, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I declare and decree, from this day forward, I belong to you. I will never again be a lost soul, because I am found by your grace. I am found by your love. In the name of Jesus, today I am saved by grace. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, man, we'd certainly like to hear from you that you've done that. And I want to pray for every person today who is struggling in this pandemic, whether it be emotionally, relationally, physically, financially. I know that you can make it. I know that you're going to make it. And I declare and decree over your life in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh, the presence that I feel right now, God, would you just go into that living room that some are driving, Lord, wherever they may be. And would you just lift the atmosphere of the room? Lift the heaviness for the spirit of praise. Lift that heaviness. And let the peace of God permeate wherever they may be. And minister hope and healing in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks and I give you praise. Amen. Come on, worship singers. Come on, help them. Come on, just stay with us a few more minutes. Let's worship God. Come on, do it, Josh.
You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes here.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.